I'm on the phone right now with two brand new agents that have just gotten started with Symmetry Financial and have gotten their, license, and they've just ordered their first batch of leads. And I know when we first get started, it can be a little bit overwhelming because we feel like there's so much stuff to learn. And obviously having this system with agenttraining.info, it's helping to really teach you what you need to know at the next step. And I always talk about a staircase to success, and a lot of us want to run and jump up the stairs, but we end up hitting our head on the third or fourth step. And to be honest, guys, I was very overwhelmed when I first started because there was so much information that I got bombarded with when I started about downloading softwares and learning products and reading agent guides. And I know a lot of us, you may be listening to this, it's like you, sometimes we feel like we need to know more than we need to know in order to be successful. So rather than you feeling like you may be lost or you may feel that is if you don't have information to become successful, this is kind of that whole, you know, you need to trust us that we've all been through the same process we're putting you through. I just got off with another off the phone with another agent of mine who got started in the beginning, and I was asking him, you know, what did you really know before you went into a home? And you don't want to be this unprepared, but this is why we have the videos on how to fill out an application with American Amicable and why we have videos on how to fill out an application with United Home Life and so on and so forth on our training sections of our website at agenttraining.info. But he didn't even know how to fill out an application. So we want to be able to start preparing you as you call your lead, not to stress out or worry about what product you're going to be marketing it to them, not to stress out or worry about how you're going to make this sale or how you're going to help enroll this homeowner onto our product. Because once we get past this step of getting licensed and then ordering our lead, they even suggest practicing with your spouse, your friend, your neighbor, your dog if you have to, where you start feeling comfortable on the phone and you start feeling comfortable going through the script so you don't sound robotic. We don't want you to sound, hi, name. I mean, Joe, this is Nate Finn. How are you today? So, you know, it's not so much what you say, but how you say it. And again, I can't stress this enough. These leads that you're getting, okay, I call them forms because if I keep calling them leads too much, I accidentally in the home have messed up several times and say, hey, why'd you fill out this lead? And it doesn't usually go that well when they feel like I'm a lead. But these forms were filled out by someone who at one point in time had an interest or a concern or an emotional attachment to take the time to either go online, find the website, put in their information, put in their height and their weight sometimes and whether they smoke or not and their phone number and cell number and home number. So when we say older leads, it doesn't mean that human being on the other end of the phone is any different than the human being that we have what we refer to as the A leads, because the A leads are nothing more than leads that just came in hot off the press, so to speak, where they've just purchased or they may have just refinanced. And I'll tell you the truth, sometimes, like I sat down with a gentleman the other night, sometimes people fill out that form right away. Sometimes they wait a month. Sometimes they wait 2 weeks. You never know when they're filling it out. And sometimes even when the people that just purchased and are in the process of moving in, they don't even know what their bills are going to be. They don't know what their electrical bill is going to be that month. They're not sure what their gas bill is going to be that month. And so sometimes they may not even be in a situation where they're ready to make a decision. So when we talk about picking up $5 leads and $3 leads, that $5 lead is 5 weeks or older, which means someone came before you and had that lead as an A lead, a $26 lead. So they either called and could not set up an appointment. They've either called and they could not get a hold of that lead. They've even called and maybe sat down with that individual and the timing wasn't right, or they were in a situation like the gentleman I met with the other night. And I'll tell you, when you are at a standing A lead order and you're tired of trading time for money and you want to start buying your production, basically you're almost cherry picking off those A leads, so to speak, where yes, you're working them, but you're trying to get a hold of the people that are giving you less resistance. And a lot of times it's a lot simpler to get 10 or 12 or 15 new A leads that are coming in the following week, get a hold of those 8 or 9 people that want to meet with you, that are interested in meeting with you when the timing is right, than to go back and try to scrounge up the other people 3 weeks ago that, you know, maybe the timing wasn't right or they just don't answer their phone. So depending who you're calling after, which we don't know who that is normally, depending how good they are on the phone, depending on whether or not they have an A-lead order and quit, no one's called them, you just don't know what you're getting. What you do know you're getting is a stack of leads or forms of people that at one point in time had an interest. Now, whether they have already gotten covered, whether they've sat down with someone and thought it was, that person wasn't that great in the home at building rapport, the timing wasn't right, or maybe someone just never got a hold of them. So when you call them on these $5 leads, $3 leads, whether they're a month old, 2 months old, 5 months old, just don't forget, guys, that these people at one point in time had an interest. And if you go about it that way when you're talking to them, the conversation will go completely different than as if, you know, you're looking at this as, oh, it's an older lead. And I'll tell you, my first month out, and I was very fortunate with no experience in the mortgage protection industry, no experience in life insurance industry, no experience in in-home sales, to be able to go out and call the $5 leads, the $3 leads behind one of the top producers in the company in my county and my area. I didn't even know he was the one calling first, and was able to go out and write $50,000 of annual premium volume my first month out in the field. Now, that's above average, guys. I had an above average mentors. I had above average training system with Symmetry. I was willing to listen to, my car became a mobile university. I listened to these audios over and over and over and over again, and I studied and practiced the script, and I was willing to call. And in the beginning, guys, when I had the time, I got resolution on all my leads. And what do I mean by that? Well, there's certain leads I couldn't get a hold of, and there's no shock and wonder why the other person didn't get a hold of them, because they don't answer their phone. And maybe they didn't respond back, or they don't recognize the numbers, so they don't answer the phone. And, you know, we always teach don't leave messages, because we don't want people leaving messages and they know who you are calling versus they think that you're a telemarketer. So when I'm calling them, and I actually have a phone number that is out of state from, you know, my Ohio number that I've had for 10 plus years, and a lot of clients have that number, and I have a Google Voice number. I'm not going to give you the whole details, but Google Voice. If you have a smartphone, you can put it on an app, and you can set up a second number. So some people I found won't answer local numbers. They don't know who it's from. They don't know, oh, that's an ex-girlfriend, or it's a bill collector, or who do they know, or who's trying to get a hold of me, but they'll pick up the phone if it's an out-of-state number. Other people are the opposite. They won't pick up the phone of an out-of-state number, and they only pick up a local number. I don't know what it is, but I'll call twice. They don't answer, go to the next lead, call twice. They don't answer, go to the next lead. I'll go through my stack, get a hold of the people I get a hold of, then I'll immediately afterwards call through the stack again from a different phone number. So understand, we are dealing with people who at one point had a need. Does that mean they have a need now? I don't know. I don't know until I pick up the phone and get a hold of them. What I would do is I would set appointments, and the first thing I would do is get my leads organized. Some people teach not to organize your leads. You're going to do it the way you want to do it. I kind of like to be able to figure out, so I'm not wasting time. A lot of these counties are bigger than others. Some are smaller than others. I work Dallas County, where there's 2 million people plus in that county. It went all the way from the east side of Mesquite and Rowlett all the way to the west side to Irving and Arlington and DeSoto, Texas, and South Dallas and North Dallas. And so, you know, I spent a lot of time in the beginning driving around aimlessly, booking appointments a half hour apart and realizing that it was going to take 45 minutes to even drive to that appointment and then without rush hour traffic. So I out of necessity, started organizing my leads. I started organizing them by zip code. You know, when I looked at the zip code, I first organized them by the city in that county, and then I would organize them by the zip and work from the bottom up. So at least I know I was in that area. As I got more into the A leads and less leads to call and more people that actually answer the phone or pick up the phone, I would then start mapping them out on MapQuest. So, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to be able to book them in a certain order or whether they answer the phone or not, but just to have an idea of where are these forms that are getting mailed from coming from. So I'm not booking an appointment at 10 a.m. and then at 12 a.m., you know, and go back at 1 a.m. and be an hour away where I can't make it. Doesn't mean I have to book appointments next door to each other. I mean, there's plenty of times I'll be in McKinney and then I'll go to Princeton. I'll come right back to McKinney, but they're in the same vicinity. I don't want to be in Plano and then McKinney and then Princeton and all the way back to Plano if I have the flexibility of booking the Plano, McKinney, Plano, so to speak. Okay, so once you got your leads and you printed them out and you got them organized or non-organized, however you want, and if you got a mixture of leads, a $5, $3 leads, and maybe you're lucky enough to get one or two A leads, mix them all together. You don't want to divide them out because you're stance on the phone becomes different. Oh, my goodness, I'm calling a $26 lead. It's the same what person you're calling on the $5 one. I've done one of my largest accounts on a $3 lead and no one got a hold of them. They were out of town on. So I have my leads organized. I have my script in front of me. And you're also going to have your client qualification form out in front of you. That's also on our website. Make sure you have the client qualification form. And you want to start, you know, getting ready to begin calling. Now, I know this question comes up, and I know that some people may have different views on this question. You know, Symmetry System teaches set up your appointments for Monday and Tuesday. Now, one of the things I did do, too, on my leads, if you have the time, and we don't want to waste a lot of time organizing and planning and making sure your paper clips are right on your desk and your post notes are all in order, guys. We don't want that to happen. But I know on my A-leads, one thing I really do is I like to look at their age and kind of calculate their age. Why would you do that? Well, because you'll know if they're 60, 65, retired, even when you're on the phone with them, they can be day appointments. So sometimes you may get a hold of a couple more people that are 65 and 70 and 75 that we're using the critical period concept with, and you may be able to have the advantage to book them during the day and fill up your day as you go fill up your night. And again, my goal was to get 10 appointments. That doesn't have to be your goal. Maybe you want to just shoot for 3 appointments if you're calling on the older leads, or 5 for that week to get your, so you don't, you know, depress yourself if you can't get 10 appointments. I was a little bit more obsessed, and I said, what are the top people doing? They said they have 10 appointments. So when I got my first 40 or 50 B leads, I called and I called and I called. I know we talked about dials, and there's an activity report sheet that every time you dial the phone, you want to put a little asterisk next to it or a little line down, like a little stick line, to count how many dials so you can start seeing your activity. But my main focus wasn't on how many dials I had to make. People talk about doing 300 dials. Well, I have a form sitting in front of me right now that has 3 phone numbers on it. I may call that one number two or three times. That's 2 or 3 dials. I call their cell phone 2 or 3 times. I call their work phone or whatever other numbers on their home phone. I just made 6 dials. That could have taken me less than a minute. So don't think that you're calling 300 people that you're getting a hold of. You know, the statistics show about if you get a hold of 4 people on the $5 or $3 leads, you should book 1 appointment. So I found myself booking about 1 or 2 appointments on every 8 contacts or people that I got a hold of. So you want to be focused on how many appointments. Set that goal, you know. And to me, it's like I called until I got those number of appointments. I didn't go, oh, I made 150 dials this morning. Whew. Oh man, what a rough day. I'm done. I need 10 appointments. I'm going to call until I get 10 appointments. And I failed, and I got 9. And I went with 9. And I would call Friday night. Well, not in the beginning. I wish I would have known that in the beginning. I'd call Saturday morning. I'd take a break, have some lunch. If I didn't get a hold of them, I'd call Saturday afternoon until about 5 o'clock. Then I would wait on Sunday, usually after 1 o'clock when people start getting home from church. It gives you Sunday morning by yourself. I would call Sunday morning through the evening and get a hold of the other people I couldn't get a hold of. There were some weeks, guys, that I wasn't the greatest on the phone when I got started. You know, I don't love being on the phone. I'm trying to book the appointment. Some nights I would have to take and call that Wednesday evening after I was out of the field or in between appointments and try to get a hold of people. But a lot of times I would do is what they call door knocking. Now, I'm not going door to door, but I would take those leads with me and those forms with me. And in between appointments, I would give myself some time. And I was out on a Monday night and I couldn't get a hold of people. I'd just show up at their door and say, listen, I was just in your area. I was at the appointment. I wanted to swing by. I've been having trouble getting a hold of you. I know you guys set this form into us, you know, to take care of your mortgage protection. I'm not sure if you got that handled yet. And I would show up at their door. I walked into probably 3 to 5 different homes and actually wrote applications in their home. I wasn't prepared with the quotes and stuff, and that's when I utilized my upline line and my mentor to call from the home, which we talk about all the time. There was probably 6 or 7 appointments, maybe even close to 10 appointments that I set for a later time. Say, listen, I have another appointment I'm running to. I know I didn't want to just kind of come in unannounced, but when's a good day? You know, I'm going to be back in your area Thursday evening, and I have about a 6 o'clock or 9 o'clock. When's a good best for me to swing by and show you what you guys qualify for? And I would sit there right there and take on the app and find out their age and the medical conditions and everything else, or set an appointment and do it that way. So door knocking is what I refer to as taking and drop. I call them drop-bys, I guess, in terms of dropping by their house in between appointments and stuff. Now, another thing that comes up is scheduling. Now, the Symmetry System has worked Monday, Tuesday, possibly Wednesday, and you're out of the field Thursday, Friday, Saturday, where you have a chance to start building your business and recruiting other people and training other people. I'll tell you this. Depending upon what your financial goals are, and you want to be in control of your schedule, and yes, you want to be able to make them meet you like you are a doctor instead of the other way around, and don't be desperate for appointments. But when you're new, it's okay not to master all these skills right off the bat, okay? And this may go against what some people teach. I'm only sharing what I did. There was times I went out on a solo appointment on a Thursday night because I wasn't that great on the phone yet, and that's when they could meet. There was a time I went out on a Saturday afternoon and met two appointments, even a Sunday afternoon and met a couple appointments because I maybe I wasn't good enough, but I didn't book them. I didn't have my schedule, my posture right to book the schedule. But I did that in the beginning because my goal is I needed to sit down with 10, I needed to schedule 10 appointments. And if I wasn't good enough in the beginning to make sure that they fit my schedule instead of me fitting theirs, guess what? I went out and did what I had to do to get my 10 appointments set. So if you are great on the phone and you can get them all set on Monday, Tuesday, and maybe trickle a couple on Wednesday, God bless you, you're better than I am. If you're not that great on the phone and you're trying to figure out, well, you know, I'd rather have 10 appointments throughout the week than to have 5 appointments and I was good at getting them on Monday and Tuesday. So, yeah, you want to do whatever you can to fill up Monday in the field, Tuesday in the field, and even I would say Wednesday in the field, depending upon, you know, the amount of Wednesday evening in the field, depending upon the amount of money that you want to make. You know, don't be booking appointments at 12 noon. That's when our SFG call is. That's when all the leaders of the company get together to do a phone call, and that's something you don't want to miss. So I would book those appointments. Monday, I would shoot for Monday. I would shoot for Tuesday. I would try to fill in the later dates, later times, 9 or 10 o'clock at night if I could. I would try to fill in the day appointments for retirees as quick, you know, and have that available before I started, you know, filling up the prime time. I also was in a situation where Tuesday afternoon I would pick up my son from school, so I couldn't have that ability to go out on Tuesday night until after 7 o'clock. So it kind of depends on your schedule. So my schedule was Monday, 2 or 3 appointments on Tuesday night, and then Wednesday. So I guess I would be in the field for those 3 days. And then if I had to pick up some other, you know, other appointments here and there, I did so. Now, there's also people in the company who schedule their appointments on the hour every hour. I could not do that, depending on the county that you work in. And then if I sit down and show them their options, depending if they have a lot of questions or we're designing the options they want to do, my appointments can go from an hour, sometimes to an hour and 15 minutes, and super long, an hour and a half. So in the beginning, because I wasn't that comfortable and I didn't know what it was that I was doing, and guys, this is a process. My appointments now I can get in and out in 45 minutes, possibly an hour, because I know what I'm doing more, you know, or if they don't have a lot of questions. Now I'm scheduling my schedule where I'm only out in the field 2 days, and not picking up those Thursday or Friday appointments because now I've learned to ask them and say, well, how important is this to you? I'm extremely busy. I have 15, 20 different you know, people that I'll be meeting with this week, and I'm only going to be here on Tuesday. How important is this to you? So I want to make sure I can come by and get this taken care of for you. So I've gotten better with my posture on the phone. I've gotten better at having them respect my schedule as opposed to respecting theirs. But, guys, it's okay in the beginning. You know, you're learning. This is a process. This is not going to be you're a superhero on the phone right away. And I don't want you getting frustrated if you go, man, I just can't seem to get them to go to schedule when I want to get that schedule. So I left about a two-hour period to give me ample time. Why? Because when you're new, you're getting resolution on every single lead. Your goal is to have every single lead that you've gotten, that you have some type of resolution, whether it was a door slam in your face, the phone hung up on you, I ever want you to ever call me again, take me off your list. That's a resolution. You need to go, how do I get through these 43 leads and get resolution on every single one? So if I went out and I was horrible on the phone, I didn't tie down the appointment good enough, guess what? I had some time to door knock, didn't I? I was in that area. I had 2 hours to go door knocking or getting on the phone, sitting in my car and calling people, guys. I wanted to get resolution on every single lead. People could say, how did you do 58 apps or whatever it was and 50,000 APV? I got resolution on every single one of the forms that I had, every one I physically possibly could. Because I'll tell you, one of the ladies I got a hold of, and it changed my whole outlook on this, what we do, guys. And I got a hold of her, and I said, Mary? And I'll remember her name, and she said, yes. I said, this is Nate. I have a form here in front of me that, you know, I'm a manager here with the Mortgage Protection Company, and I'm looking at a form with your signature on it, and I can't really tell if it's been taken care of or not. And I said, at one point in time, I'm hoping you just purchased a refinance. They mailed out a letter to you regards of mortgage protection in case of a death or a disability or a critical illness, that your home would either be paid off or your mortgage payments would be made for you. And she said, yeah, but you're a little late. And I said, oh, what do you mean by that? I'm sorry. I just got that form across my desk right now. She goes, we filled out the form. No one ever got a hold of us. My husband died 2 weeks ago. I no longer live at that house. And, man, my heart dropped. Now, granted, maybe they didn't answer their phone, he didn't answer their phone, but someone, what if someone would have door knocked that for him? What if someone would have gone out and at least stopped by the house? Here's a lady that had a need and a gentleman who had a need and somehow fell through the cracks. And I'm talking to somebody, a family, a wife, who has a brand new purchased home who she no longer is at, and she lost her husband and they weren't protected. I, at that point, said, I don't want that weight on my shoulders, and I'm going to do I'm not perfect, guys, but I'm going to do everything physically possible to make sure as I get through this, I'm getting resolution on all my forms that get mailed back in. Because these are families. These are homeowners. These are people who have generations can be changed from the product that we market, guys. Generations can be saved or destroyed based upon them having coverage, you know. Families can be uprooted from their homes, from their schools, living in separate households based on a phone call or a stop by someone's house. So if you're looking at this as some sales gig, like, oh, man, I could sell ice to an Eskimo, move to Alaska. They don't need ice. They have plenty of it. And there's lots of Eskimos there. I'm not interested in selling ice to an Eskimo. I'm interested in, so you can't take it personal, guys. For every person who hangs up the phone and tells you, oh, get lost, I just want the 15th person to call me, I'm so tired of you, take me off your list. If you start taking that personal, think about the story I just shared with you and think about how many homeowners can be helped because you're willing to deal with the negative people or the people that got harassed in order to dig through those 15, 16, 17 forms to find those one or two Marys that someone else didn't. So have that in the back of your brain. Set up those times the best possible how you can set up those times and leave yourself enough time in the beginning to be able to have time to drive to the next appointment. If you need to be home in the home longer, it's going to take you a little bit longer. If you're not a master at filling out the application, it's going to take you a little bit longer. If you need to make the call from the home three or four times, we talk about it all the time, guys. Once you have these appointments booked, this goal is to book the appointments. Set up your schedule. When you're done booking the appointments, you're going to take your qualification form, either scan it in or fax it to your mentor, and then your mentor, the person who's going to be involved with helping you set up your week, will look at those qualification forms, and they'll tell you what product that they're going to be best suited for. And I would tell everybody that's listening is once your appointments are booked and you sent your qualification forms over to your mentor and we are able to tell you what product that you're going to be able to market against, you want to call from the home every single time, period. We can't help you enroll a client after you're in your car driving to the next appointment. And it happens so many times. I don't know, people feel embarrassed not to call in the home. They feel they don't want to bother us. They feel like, oh, it just was uncomfortable. Guys, there was many a times I would say, listen, you know, I work with 32 different carriers. You don't have to walk in and go, hey, I'm brand new. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. And, you know, and they just changed this application. They did it to make it easier on us, but it's kind of confusing to me. They made some changes I don't understand. So as opposed to me wasting your time and having to come back and drive and get new signatures, let me make a quick phone call to my chief underwriter or to my business partner who kind of specializes with this particular company. Let me just get some of my questions answered. Let me make a quick phone call. Man, this software. I know some people struggle with the software, guys. It's okay. And this software, shit. Again, man, these IT guys that come in here and make changes and think it's going to be easier for us, it makes it harder for us. Obviously, working with 33 different companies, it's tough for me to stay on top of every single software change. But do you mind if I do me a favor? Let me get my software guy on the phone. I made good friends with him. I have his phone number. I'm your software guy. Matt's your software guy. Edward's your software guy. You know, your mentors are your software guys. Whoever you're working with, they're your software guy. They're your chief underwriters. They're the experts in terms of the application process. Whatever it is, you want to get on the phone, be in the home, and don't be afraid, guys. Actually, the people like it when there's someone else involved helping make a decision, make sure they're in the right product. You know, based on your health and based on what we had talked about, I mean, obviously, I think this product is right for you. What I want to do is make sure, you know, my job is to help you get covered, not denied. So I'm going to make a quick phone call to the chief underwriter, since this is what his job, he's the one that underwrites the application, and make sure that we have you on the exact right product. And you pick up the phone. Don't put it on speaker. Without telling us, because that's I've had done that before, which cost me a sale and actually cost them protection, more importantly, because I had it on speaker and wasn't talking, you know, telling them about it. But it's just very easy to do that, and we'll do that on another call, guys. So the client qualification form, we're going to end with this, okay? And you can listen to the next audio, you know, once I book my appointments, what to do next. But the client qualification form, if you're looking at it, it has their name, date of birth, height, weight, smoker, non-smoker. And, again, this is how I do it. Everyone's different. So as you're looking at the qualification form, it's and I'm doing this phone call with them. So I just want to verify some information real quick and make sure that we get you, you know, the numbers that you're looking for or the options that you're looking for. And some people go right into the health questions. And to me, sometimes I found that to be a little bit more difficult, or some people will start going, what do you need all this information for? Oh, my goodness, what else? I need a quote on the phone. So I just start talking about what we are supposed to be talking about, which is their mortgage, right? So I say, great, you know, it has down here that you have a $150,000 loan with Bank of America. Is that a 30-year, 25, or 20-year? Oh, it's a 30-year. Okay, great. And what do you think your approximate monthly payment is, you know, with principal interest or whatever? You know, what's your approximate monthly payment? Oh, it's $1,500 a month. And that's things you want to know, because we start putting quotes together. When you look at the video, the science behind the quote and how to put a quote together, which is the next step after you book your appointments, and you know what product you're going to market to them, you'll start seeing why we want to know what their monthly payment is. If we're using critical period coverage, or we're talking about disability or even critical illness, we want to know what is their monthly mortgage payment. So ask them, you know, how many years is that on? You know, what's your monthly payment? And from there, they'll say, okay, great. And I'll say, okay, what was really the concern? You know, what was your major concern for wanting to get coverage here? What was your major concern of filling out this form and mailing it back to us? And they'll usually say, and I don't really dig too much deep on this, guys, but some people will tell you, well, you know, in case something happens to me, I want to make sure my wife's covered, or, you know, in case I get a disability, you know, and they'll tell you maybe, like, what are they more concerned about, the critical illness or the disability or the full mortgage payoff, and it kind of gives you another idea before you go into the home where you really dig into their why. So once I have that concern, I go, listen, you know, how this process works is very simple. What my job is to do when I hang up this phone, I'm going to shop my 36 different carriers based upon your age and your health to find you the company that's going to offer you the most amount of coverage for the least amount of cost. And they usually say, oh, wow, that's great. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions. I don't want to sound like a, you know, private eye or investigator, but I want to ask a couple questions, because based on these questions, you know, I'll know which provider is going to give you the most amount of coverage for the least amount of cost. So are you currently taking any prescription medications right now? And in the beginning, guys, I used to go, oh, high blood pressure, cholesterol. Now I've started to find out more about, well, what is it, how long you've been on it. You know, oh, I take a high blood pressure medication. Do you happen to know the name of that? Oh, I have Lisinopril, I think, or, you know, is it handy? Can you grab it real quick? And I'll ask them what the medication that they're on currently. Well, I take a high blood pressure medication, or I'm a diabetic. Okay, great. Is that insulin, or do you take, you know, a pill for that, oral? And metformin, which as you start doing this, you start realizing, like a doctor, you'll start hearing the same prescription, lisinopril for high blood pressure and metformin for type 2 diabetic. And a type 2 diabetic is someone who's not taking insulin. A type 1 diabetic is with, you know, they are taking insulin, you know. You'll have people that, you know, will tell you, well, I'm on a depression medication or sleep medication. And, you know, I sat down with someone who said they were on a sleep medication. It was actually prescribed for anxiety. So I do a little bit of digging on there, and I already let them know up front that my goal is to help them get the most amount of coverage based upon their health and their age for the least amount of cost, so they feel more comfortable. So, okay, great. And how long have you had the high blood pressure? When was that diagnosed? How long have you had your diabetes? You know, any major surgeries in the last last 10 years? You know, I don't care if it's a knee replaced. I'll ask them, oh, did they give you any type of pain medications that you can remember? Whether they have any issues with your heart, you know, heart attack, stroke, cancer, any issues like that. And they'll go through it, guys. And I said, well, how about, you know, and then I go into it. It says here you're 5'2". Sometimes their height and weight's on there. Sometimes it's not. And I go to their height and weight, and if they're smoke or non-smoker. So I kind of work from the bottom up. And everyone does it differently, guys. If you feel more comfortable just going right into the health questions and work from the top down, it doesn't matter. It's also very important to find out what they do for work for two reasons. I want to know what they do for work, because certain carriers will not allow disability for certain jobs, whether they be self-employed, a housekeeper, a police officer, critical illness, the same way. you know, certain carriers won't take a disabled person. So if they say, well, I'm disabled, are you getting any disability income? Are you getting any Social Security? Some that's an automatic decline. So to save yourself time in the beginning, if I tell you anything, worry more about finding out what they do for work, making sure you find out if their mortgage, what their monthly payment is, what term it's on. I always ask them, is it a refinance or a purchase? Because if it's a refinance, I'll say, you know, do you happen to know what your home is worth? So that way I know if there's equity in the home. So I'm talking about their home right away. What term is it on? What's your monthly payment? Was that a refinance or a purchase? How much do you think your home's worth if it was a refinance? You know, I go up, you know, are you on any prescription medications currently? You know, how is your health? You have any problems with cancer, diabetes, you know, stroke, you know, high cholesterol, whatever it is. And I kind of go through that, get their age, get their height and weight. And what do you do for work, Mike? Oh, I'm an electrical engineer. Oh, okay, great. What kind of hours do you work in? Oh, 8 to 5. So now I know what he does for work. I also know when he's available to book an appointment. So instead of me asking, hey, so when are you available? When's the best time for you? And what happens when you start asking a question like that, it opens them up to reject you. Oh, well, I don't know, really, I'm really busy this week. Or, you know, can't you just send me something over in the email? Or can you give me a number over the phone? You just gave up control. So you made them a conversation and completely great. And all of a sudden you go, so what time do you think you're available this week that we can sit down and talk about this? You just gave them control. You don't want to lose control on the phone. So combined with that, guys, with all the other audios you've listened to, that's just how I do it. And I'm still evolving, you know, being involved with the company less than 4 months and, you know, being able to accomplish, you know, doing over 150,000, you know, annual premium volume in that short period of time. That's over 150 families I've been able to help. I'm still learning. I'm still evolving. These are things that have helped me along the way. And if you are brand new, take this into your arsenal. It doesn't mean this is the way it has to be done. You're going to find it's like this is the recipe. You hear how to call older leads. So even though this is the recipe, you can add some of your own spice. But the recipe is make sure that you call the leads with the intention of families that you're helping. The recipe is make sure that you start to own your schedule and have them respect your schedule, not theirs. The recipe is make sure you lock down that appointment and have them visualize you coming to their house. The recipe is making sure that you dial and you get resolution on all these leads. And as you move forward and as you get involved here with this company and you start learning, you start sitting on appointments and making more phone calls, you will be able to add your own spice.